Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. Driver interviews are sponsored by D&L Disposal, the first call for your waste management needs. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Trusburg, Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer a dump trailer service, rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up. They'll take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. And this week, I have the privilege to introduce Insinger Performance Modified driver Dayton Brewer. Dayton, how are we doing today?
Doing good, doing a lot better this evening, seeing your face, and I'm excited to get down to business here and solve the world's problems.
Oh, really? Well, so have you ever thought about maybe trying to solve the problem of keeping a car together?
That, you know what, when I figure that one out, we might be right in business. I'm sure
So,
we'll get a yeah, go right ahead.
yeah, we're gonna start right there. So, 2 weeks ago, what did you completely blow the motor or?
No, I don't know exactly the extent of it yet. After the heat race, if you were watching, it was a very good heat race. I won by half a track, whatever, in 8 laps, you know. So that's always when they always run like crazy before something happens. So, I was feeling great going into the feature, and coming in after the heat race, it was up above 200 degrees. It wasn't hot. But that's pretty unusual for an 8 lap race. But I thought, I went out there and I ran it really hard for 8 laps. That's not, didn't really think anything of it too much. But we wanted to top off the water in the motor before the feature just in case, and it wasn't just topping it off. It took 3 gallons of water at four. So obviously the water was going somewhere because everything was dry in the engine compartment. So somehow it lost, 3 gallons of water in that 8 laps. So I was pretty confident I wasn't going to make 25. And sure enough, after 1 lap, the temperature spiked up above 200 and I just pulled it in. So not sure yet what the problem is. It's down to Stapleton's, down to the engine builder. It's probably, hopefully it's just a head gasket. The other assumption would be a cracked head, in which case, obviously not good. But not sure exactly the extent of it, but at least I had the wherewithal to pull it off before I totally cooked it, because that has also happened before. So it's probably not quite as bad as it could have been. I should have been able to save most of it. Just it depends what, the extent of the original issue was.
Right. So you said you went through 3 gallons in the heat race, correct? For us bozos, I
I'm
like
a
to think that
bozo
I'm not
too.
the only one that listens or that doesn't know everything. So how much water do you guys usually go through in a heat race and then a feature?
I can't speak for everybody. So we've got a little spit tank that when the water gets hot, it creates pressure, it spits out into a tank, and when it cools back down, it'll suck it back into the engine. Usually takes about a cup a week of water. Most guys might not necessarily, like it's not like a huge thing. My dad really got into checking the water because in Mike and Mandy Mahaney's videos, he had that happen one time where he didn't top off his water for a couple weeks, whatever, and cooked his motor. So it's like, oh wow, that's something you got to check. So something my dad does every week, about a cup of water every week. So that was why, like, oh, it got hot, let's just top it off to make sure. It's just one of the things you think about now after, it's happened. And sure enough, it was, I mean, it did, at least we were, I was aware to look for the temperature spike and everything like that. So, I mean, all that stuff, having the wherewithal, I wasn't gonna make 25 laps anyway. So 1 lap was all it could handle that night.
Right. And then this weekend I think you went maybe a lap again.
I didn't even make it a
You didn't
lap.
even make it a lap.
No, we I took the green flag and I went into the and as soon as I got into the or turned it into the turn one and hit the gas, and immediately you could feel it. I mean, I grabbed a little bit of berm or whatever, and I must have just hooked up so hard that the axle tube on the right side just snapped right in half. So I've made a total of one lap in the last 2 weeks here. So it's been pretty brutal.
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly too. I imagine that when, hey, there's a cat. I imagine that when they when they break like that, they normally don't. Do they normally just snap right off like that, or is it more
I mean, probably when the tubes, I don't know how, I don't really know how often the tubes break. I did break one last year as well, but it was, I was breaking left rear shocks last year. I broke like two or three left rear shocks. And so I think last year, once again, it always, every time something happens, it's like, not that it's ever a good time, but it's always like the most inopportune time, because last year I remember I was literally passing for the lead going into turn three. And when I let off the gas, like it's like the car settles so hard and it just snapped the left rear shock. And I don't know if like the car dug into the track, or whatever, and it ripped the left rear axle tube last year. So we at least have a little bit of a little practice in changing them, getting them fixed. But I mean, generally, I don't know how long, or I don't know how often that really happens. I mean, I guess this is why you see like the big guys, Matt Shepherds and stuff, Billy Van Pelt for years. You're getting a new freaking car every year because you're going out there running it hard when you're hooked up, especially like the cars are nowadays and all the power that we have nowadays. I mean, it's so hard on everything. So I guess it's just one of those things. I mean, it's not like that was a lack of maintenance, a lack of, checking a bolt or anything like that. It's just things happen, things break, and it is what it is.
Right. So I guess you were probably the only modified driver that didn't wake up sore on Sunday morning. And
Yeah.
you probably weren't happy about it.
No, I definitely wasn't happy about it, because I mean, I'm pretty confident. I don't think it's a cocky thing. I think everybody that you ask, they think that if you don't think that you're the best, then you're lying, because you're never going to win a race. You don't personally think that you're the best. And I, starting on the outside of the front row, I was very confident in my ability to win that race that night. So I would have gladly taken a week's worth of a sore back, sore neck, whatever all the other guys got the privilege to complain about, versus what happened to me. So yeah, for sure.
Right. So I gotta ask the question. I know it's not one that you want to hear really, but 2 weeks ago you came in tied for the point lead. Now was that kind of a goal that you guys had set at the beginning of the year, or do you guys just I know you and your dad, or do you guys just kind of want to race and however it shakes out, it shakes out, or was that actually a goal that you guys were shooting for?
I think it's always a goal. Anybody who says that it's not a goal, if they're there every week, that is your goal, of course. I'm not a big points chaser, and this is probably why. Maybe I'm superstitious, whatever. As soon as you start paying attention to it, that's when it all goes to hell. So my philosophy is, and it doesn't always pan out, obviously, but like my philosophy is, I'm going out there every single week and trying to win. You do that and it all takes care of itself. So yeah, it is always the goal to win the championship, because that means you had a good year, right? I mean, that so I mean as soon as yeah as soon as I was getting close to Carter, and then he has his issue on Wednesday, it's like, okay, like I mean, I think I'd already caught up at that point, but you start actually paying attention at that point. Maybe in hindsight, if I'm chasing it all year long, maybe it's I didn't, I wouldn't, I'd still be in contention now after two bad weeks, because like I know the first week I kind of screwed that one up. I got into the corner too hard, didn't want to get into the leader, and stalled the car, lost four or five spots, and finished what should have been a win, at least second place. I think I got fourth that night. Another night was leading the race, got a flat tire. Got that changed, rallied back to passing for fifth, and got put in the wall. I take the onus on myself for that too. I mean, it was a brave maneuver, but I mean, when you're going forward, you're hoping, you're running out of time. I should have just settled for fifth or sixth that night instead of hoping I could get, third or whatever the case. So it's always the goal, chasing the championship, but I'm not thinking points, points, points all year long. You're looking to win the race. You're looking to put on a show for the fans, and that's really what I'm out there for.
Right. So yeah, it sounds like you're pretty much wins, wins, wins. That's all you're really focusing on.
Absolutely.
And I
And I
guess
mean,
if you win every week, you're gonna have the championship locked up, so
exactly. I mean, I think that's just the mindset to have. You try to win every single week, and the points take care of themselves at that point.
right. So I want to go back to last year a little bit, because you guys kind of I can't remember the point standings exactly last year. I should have looked them up, but you guys kind of had the same issue. You blew a motor with what was it, 2 or 3 weeks to go in the year, and you had to end up finding your way into Herbie's car. So I guess just is it just motors getting tired at the end of the year, or are you just too fast?
Yeah, I think it's just too fast, Joe, for sure. Yeah, I blew a couple of them last year, which all this makes it sound like I'm apparently really rough on stuff. And I don't, so last year, it's the motor that we've got in the car now, which was, basically a motor basically built for Woodhull. It was the first motor that I ever had in modifieds in 2017 when I made my first starts in modifieds. This is that same motor. It's had a little bit of work done. It's a little bit better. It was a 358 back then. So it's, I mean, it is older, but I mean, it's, I think most of it's like was pretty much brand new last year after, getting all updated throughout the years. So that, I don't remember when that happened. It was somewhere beginning to middle of the season. The water pump came loose on that one and it dumped all the water out. And so when the water goes away, the gauge doesn't read. Like it won't read, the gauge reads water. So when the water goes out, if it went out when the motor was 190 degrees, that's what the gauge is going to read. So I think I finished second that night, I'm pretty sure, and like came back into the pits and I was like, man, it was losing power. By the end of the race there, like I thought I would have had something, but then it just kept, it quit going and shut the car off. And I mean, everything was popping and snapping in there. I mean, it just absolutely cooked the motor. So that had a full rebuild, and that's what we've got back now. So we put our spare in at the end of last year, which I had run the whole year before with, and it was our third motor because I when I, the big one that I had at the beginning of this year it blew the year before. So we're down to our third motor at the end of last year, and that one I think it was just a case of tired. I mean, didn't really plan on running needing it, and I'd won 1 week with that one. I'd finished second in the Honoring Alice race with that one, and I mean, it had been through its paces, so it sucked for it to go. And I don't want to like make light of it, but it kind of served its purpose there. I think that was the case with that one. Kind of just it was kind of wore out. It was time probably for a rebuild. So then Herbie was kind enough to offer me up the ride to finish out the point season, and then the last night with that one. Got a hole in the piston, and I didn't get to run the feature then either. So I feel like none of it's really like my fault. I'm not going out there and like abusing people's stuff and like driving like an idiot. Things just happen, I guess. I don't know how else to explain it. Hopefully, all this bad luck can over with because my first, this is like my 8th year in modified. First 6 years in modified probably had no, literally not a whisper of a motor issue. So I think I'm paying for it now.
Well, it's not just you this year. I don't
No,
know
for sure not.
I don't know exactly what's going on this year, but I think Woodhull's been through more motors than I can almost ever remember. You've went through Carter Crooker, he blew one up, Ron Cartwright blew one up. I think and then that's just the modifieds, that I can think of off the top of my hand. And I don't know exactly what it is about this year, but it just seems like there's a bunch of them going. So it's
Yeah, for
not only
sure.
you.
Yeah, and I mean, I think in the modified class too, I mean, there's not a slow car out there. I mean, we all have huge motors. We're hooking them up really hard. And I mean, it's got to just be hard on them. I mean, I think that's a lot to do with
Right. Yeah, I always thought that
it.
Woodhull was an easier track on motors, but this year it just seems like it has not been at all.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I don't want to pretend like I'm the only one having bad luck. That's certainly for sure.
Actually, I think Herbie blew one up too. Well, Herbie did, Brady did. So I think they went through a motor as well. So that's just
Yeah,
another one to
it's
add to the list. So go back to the beginning here. I think I know the answer. Probably a lot of people do too. But how did you get started, and what'd you get started in?
So my dad raced for, I don't know, since he got out of high school probably,
Forever.
way before my time. And I mean, so I grew up going there from, I was born in December and at the races in May. So that's all I really knew was that's what you do on Saturdays. So I think like many kids in the crowd, that's what you dream of, is, well, I want to be that someday, So that's how I got started, was definitely my dad, huge inspiration there. And what I got started in originally was go-karts at Rathbun Raceway. Did very, very, very well there. That place got shut down. Then made my way over to Moe's Karting World and got to race against Dylan Groover, like Jake Jin, Colin Brown. Like, so it was cool, like, to kind of come up through starting from as kids and kind of racing against some of the same guys, for years. And then when I turned 16, I got my first Crazy Sportsman and did that for what, 4 years before moving up to modifieds.
So you went straight from a go-kart to a sportsman.
Yes.
So
Not.
do you remember that transition at all, or?
Yeah. So I mean, again, it sounds cocky, but every driver should have this mindset. Like I had go-karts just mastered, big deal, right? And so I don't think that everybody should just be jumping into an open-wheeled car like that for their first time. I think, like I did it. Lawson's, like this is what we know. Like this is what my dad knew. He had a sportsman, this so you kind of jump into what you're comfortable with, like to work on, to know how to set up and all that stuff. It was definitely a tough transition though. I mean, I sucked my first year bad. Like, going from, again, it's go-karts, big deal, but like going from win like winning every week, I didn't care. I could start a lap down. I didn't care. I was going to the front, it didn't matter. And to go then to like, I mean, we got full fields back then and not qualifying for the first 3 or 4 weeks, it was tough. You couldn't get any laps in either, you know what I mean? So I mean, it's like, boy, this is a lot harder than it looks from the stands. And then like eventually it just clicked and then ended up being very successful in the Crazy Sportsman. And then that's when, my dad was like, maybe we just make the leap to modifieds. And then right off the bat in them, I had a ton of success. I had 2 wins my first year. Actually the first race I was ever in modified, that it was just the heat race, but I won the heat race, my first race ever in one. It was like my second or third race in a modified was back then. They had a big 35 lapper at the end of the year, the Bullring Challenge, that 2 day show at the end of the year, and I finished third in that. I mean, I started like 15th, and I mean, I drove by Billy Van Pelt, Dan Creed, and Donnie Lawson. I mean, like that was just a great feeling, like to give you that confidence that you can actually drive with these guys, and again, like racing with these guys that you grew up race or grew up idolizing, like Billy Van Pelt. I've raced against Kurt Van Pelt. I've shared the track with Steve Harmon Sr., Donnie Lawson. Like it's very cool to go from that kid in the stands to being able to do what I get to do.
Right. So you said your dad, did he, was he racing the whole time that you were, or did he stop when you got into the go-kart?
He had stopped. Trying to think. There might have been like a small overlap there, but I mean, like once I got into it, like he was gracious enough to the focus was on that. I mean, I think I showed early enough that it was going to be a successful enough venture to be fun for him, and
Right.
him not want to pull his hair out and think like, oh my gosh, this is just a waste of our time. You know what I mean? I gotta assume. So yeah.
Well, I guess what I wanted to know was, you said he drove sportsman. Did he kind of have to learn everything new what by the time you got up to sportsman, or were they kind of the same ideas when he drove?
Yeah, so he started in Sportsman in 2007, the first year that they had
Okay.
Sportsman, and won the championship. And I mean, back then, yeah, they were on right side Panhard bar, torsion bars. When I started, that was still the case, but it was like just starting to get that transition. Like I think AJ Petrobowski Sr., I think he was, very experimental with some of the suspension stuff like that. I mean, he would show up. I didn't really race much with him. I think he kind of stopped racing Woodhull before I started in crates. But I mean, for years there, he was about every week winning, and so he was way ahead of the curve on all this newer stuff. But when I got started, yeah, it was still pretty much the same thing that he had then. So I mean, we had a great baseline to get started with, and it really wasn't until even up until when I started modifieds, it was still all the same. I mean, my crate car was a 2007, like old Dylan DeWert chassis. And I mean, it would run with Chris Doherty's, 2016 at the time, brand new, best of the best, everything. So, and then same with modifieds. My modified was a 2006 chassis from that Steve Harmon Jr. used to race, and that was in 2018. And I'm beating Billy Van Pelt and Corey Costa and Dylan Groover, these guys with brand new cars again. That I do not think is possible today. I mean, the cars, I mean, first of all, you couldn't take one that old because everything, there's coils instead of torsion bars, left side panhard instead of right side. I mean, the tall cage driver backs and everything is just so much different. And the way that the cars hook up now, like we're finding cracks and things need welding on the chassis every other week. I mean, it's really exponentially, like everything just gets so much more expensive and more intense than it used to be, even when I started.
Right. So you said I want to touch on something you said there. Cracks in the chassis. Is that something
Yeah.
that you just go through every week and fi fix what's broke there? Is that I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like there's so much stress and I don't know. I couldn't build one. I don't understand even the geometry, all the stuff that goes on in the rear ends of these things. But I mean, there's just so much torque and just so much stress on all the components and especially the rear end that, yeah, I mean, and my chassis now is 6 years old, which I'm sure there's others like it, but I mean, it's just, that's kind of where I was getting at, where I used to be able to run a 12-year-old chassis and win races. And like, I just don't think that's going to be possible. I don't think my chassis is a 2020 or yeah, 2020. It would not make it, like it'll be junk by 2030. Like the upkeep nowadays is just so much more extreme. So I think everybody's got to be going through that unless they have newer stuff, I would imagine.
Right. So do you think that kind of leads into the car counts everywhere? Just
I really,
the fact
yeah.
you can't be competitive with that older stuff, so you're almost forced to spend the money to buy new, and I guess once you have to do that, it kind of takes it out of the fun for a lot of guys, I would think, but
No, I definitely think so. I mean, it's crazy expensive. People don't really understand. Sorry, my cat's trying to jump on me. Like, yeah, people don't really understand how expensive it really is. I mean, it's $500 for a set of rear tires if the track, if you burn them off one night. I mean, that's right there a huge chunk of money that you just wouldn't think would be that much. I mean, to get your shocks, I just got my shocks rebuilt and it was $600. And that's all things. I mean, Billy Van Pelt, for years, he had new tires, if not every week, every other week at least. He had, I mean, dozens and dozens of different shocks and stuff like that. So, I mean, and he was phenomenal. And nobody will argue that. But I mean, that all helps to be that, you kind of also need all that stuff to be competitive too. I mean, so yes, I definitely think that that is a big contributor to why car counts are down everywhere. It's just so hard to afford. And if I wasn't competitive, I wouldn't be having fun and I wouldn't want to do it either. So, I mean, if you can't afford to be competitive, then
Right.
you're probably not going to come really.
Yeah, that's what I always think. Everybody always says that it's problems with the track and everything and it, but I really think deep down that it's all over the place, and it's just the fact that your small team really struggle to be competitive. And if you're not even, I mean, if you can't even get lucky one week, you're just out to lunch every week. That's, I know there's some guys that do it, but I would think that's probably not as fun, but
No, exactly. And I mean, you need those guys. I mean, thank God for the guys
Yep.
that do just enjoy being out there, period. And I mean, that's why, like, the modifieds had what, 11 cars this week or whatever. And I mean, 10, there's 10 to 12 cars on any given night, depending on how many show up, that could win a race. I mean, how many people have won a race this year in the modified class? I mean, however many it is, you consider Donnie Lawson hasn't won. Brian Doolittle hasn't won. I don't think Brady Faltz has won. So those are three guys right there that are capable any given night. So I mean, it must be, it is a little different with the modified guys that people, not as many guys want to show up that aren't as competitive, or the guys that are showing up are very, very motivated to be competitive.
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of it. So I think that at least me personally, and I don't obviously I don't own a race car. I've never even sat in one, but I would think that if you're gonna spend the amount of money that it takes just to get there, and I mean, like you said, 500 for tires, 600 for shocks, the body, the chassis, the fuel to get to the racetrack, you spend that amount of money, and then you have to spend double it just to be competitive. And that's really, if you're like, well, I could go buy a boat and I'm not gonna get passed every week,
No, exactly. I mean, I think that's, and then you're not even factoring in, the breakdowns. Like we had, to get our motor, like when we finally got this one back, it was like $9,000 for a full rebuild on that thing, and another 1,000 or whatever worth of damage, like last, this past week. And I mean, that's 2 weeks that just absolutely can kill your season. I mean, I'm very, very, very thankful that like my dad has the gumption to just keep wanting to go, because I mean, just getting punched in the gut like that 2 weeks right in a row, right at the end of the season, is just killer.
I don't, maybe you can't disclose exactly what you said, but so the second week, this past week, when you pull up into the pit area and you get out of the car and you and your dad look at each other, what's kind of the first thing that you're thinking?
No, we're done. Like, screw this. Like, pretty much. I mean, and it's not, I mean, it's all of it too. It's like, it's the frustration of like, damn, I mean, you take the points situation. What like really hurts, if I just went out and sucked for, from when I had, when we were tied, if I would have just sucked the next 4 weeks, that's on me. That it is what it is. But now it feels like I didn't even get the opportunity to compete for it, because especially with the car counts now, like it's over for me. Like I'm too far out. I mean, I could win the next 2 weeks. Aiden could finish last the next 2 weeks, but if there's only 12 cars, it doesn't matter. So like that is definitely what I, it was hard for me to get over at the beginning of this week here, where I was just like, man, that just sucks. Like I get to make one lap the last 2 weeks. I had no opportunity to even, to even try. And back to, putting myself as a kid in the stands, like to not even like give people the opportunity to like see a battle come down to it, at the end of the season, like that, it just sucks all around for that. But that, along with all the money that it is, to get everything fixed, and especially all the time that it takes, to just all you're doing, you don't have time to do anything else in life other than like, well, we got to fix this car to get back, on Saturday to put on a show for everybody. So it's definitely daunting, but I mean, huge, huge shout out to my dad for wanting to do it.
I think you're cutting yourself a little short here. I don't think that you're eliminated by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean,
For what it's
listen,
worth.
I plan on going out the next 2 weeks and winning. I mean, that's the goal.
I
But
mean, you get.
realistically looking at things, I mean, it's tough sledding here.
Well, you know what the big thing is, right? Heat points.
Yeah, I
You got to
mean,
go out there, pass some cars in the heats.
there's a lot which I can do. I last week I started fifth in a stacked heat race, but Aiden starts on front. He still finishes ahead. So I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. I'm not throwing in the towel by any means. I'm still gonna go out there, and I'm gonna drive my butt off regardless. But just being realistic, like it was a big gut punch these last 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah, that sucked. So would you do you like the draw redraw? I know I've asked you this before, but just
I like it because at least that's one thing that everybody can't complain about. Because every track
yes,
I
I
know,
can.
well, you're right, but every track around has handicap, don't they? I know the awesome, praised Outlaw Speedway that everybody loves nowadays for some reason. I know they handicap, and that's no problem. But for some reason, nobody that races at Outlaw wants, Woodhull to come handicap, and they say, oh, handicap doesn't work at Woodhull. I don't know. I've seen a lot of good two-lane racing, at least in my class. I guess I can't speak for everybody, but there's good two-lane racing. I mean, as a fan, I used to love watching Billy Van Pelt, Kurt Van Pelt come from the back of the pack. That was the best show. So why, AJ Petrobowski has shown up 3 times this year, and he started on the front rail 3 times. That to me is just extremely boring to watch as a fan. He is very fast. I would prefer to see him start eighth, pass some cars. You might hit a couple on the way by. That'll really get the crowd rolling. You know what I mean? I
Especially
just
him.
think that's what I mean. So I just don't. I do like the handicap, and like we all, there are nights when it pisses you off for sure. When a guy sandbags for 3 weeks so he can start in the pole and get his win, that's annoying. When there's a bunch of guys up there that, they might not be able to hold a line, they might be a weapon. Yeah, you might tear some stuff up. Like that part, I totally get. But in general, I think that it puts on better racing when you have, let's see how fast you are. Can you pass cars? There's a lot of guys, and I've started up front like way more this year than I ever have. So like I can't really pretend like that's not the case for me this year, but in general, like there's a lot of guys that start up front and they can do good, but put them back in traffic and what do? I love passing cars. Like to me, I either have a car that's capable of winning or I don't, period. Like I don't care if I start 12th, I don't care if I start first. Like if I have a car capable of winning, like I'm getting to the front. Like that's my mindset. I don't get why guys that win all the time and we'll be down in the driver's meeting and they'll say, oh, do you want handicap or do you want winners to start 12th? And they're like, hell no, we don't want to start 12th. Like, why not? Like are you that you're not confident enough in yourself to be, you have to start in the pole every week and have the fastest car? Like, I don't understand that. Like
Right.
personally, I think especially when you have a good car, like it's a blast to have a good car and work your way through people. I mean, that's the fun of it to me.
Right. Well, that's why I really like the where the winner starts in the last redraw spot, only because, and I know there's ways to skirt around it. Just ask anybody. I've heard all the complaints from AJ to Glenn Reitner. I've heard them, but I like it because it doesn't. It doesn't penalize people for showing up that don't regularly race there. I don't want Canandaigua was a bad example, but some Saturday track, Thunder Mountain. I don't want them to rain out, have guys come and then go, well, I don't want to go because we have to start 13th.
No,
That's
yeah,
not a
and
lot of
that.
fun.
Right,
But then
exactly that reason is why I don't mind that we have draw redraw, because it takes away that complaint. Because that's the easiest go-to thing for anybody who doesn't race here. Well, I'm not gonna go there because they handicap. I know I'm gonna start 12th. Like,
Right.
okay, sorry, I might you still might you might draw 12, dude. Like, I don't know what to
Right.
tell you, but at least it eliminates that.
Yeah, and I like the I like it too because I've told Kenny this too. If Kenny Peoples, if he's going to win seven races, at least half of them he's going to start in the back.
Exactly.
So
And it's a better
it's
show. I mean, and it's just a better show. That's just back to like what I said about like Billy and Kurt coming up through the pack. Like when I watch a great sportsman race in the year 2025, I don't want to see Kenny Peoples start in the front row. That is
Yeah, me
boring. I'm
neither.
sorry. Like I want you to work your way up through traffic. And guess what? More often than not, he does it, and it's a good show. Like I don't get the complaint when there's competition that shows up. I don't get like we're here to freaking race. We're here to put on a show at the end of the day. Like,
Well, that's coming from somebody who finishes on the podium every time there's a 5,500 to win race and
well,
and
so
all the
yeah,
big
maybe
guys
we.
show up. That's because you finish on the podium, so you don't mind when they show up.
Well, exactly. But I think if you're confident enough in, yourself, then that should be the mindset where like, do you like racing or do you just like looking like a winner? I could move down to a class that has five cars. And I could cheat my car up and I could win every week. And I could tell everybody, I could go to the bars on Fridays and I could say, yep, won again. But until you see the real picture, do you know what really goes on at that race? What would you rather be? And I think one win in a modified is a million wins in a great late model at Woodhull Raceway. I'm sorry. It's just the truth.
Well, I and it's a little different because they're the four cylinders. But I talked to Wesley Hotaling, and he had 11 feature wins in the past 2 years, and this year he's got competition, and I don't,
And that class is fun to watch now.
and I've got to imagine for him, I don't know, maybe winning all the time is a lot of fun. I'm sure it is,
I'm
but
sure it is.
it's also got to be a lot of fun to race. When you're not
Absolutely.
going out there like he has been the past couple of years, and he's got a straightaway lead on lap four, and then they just raced for 16 more laps for second, that's it's got to be more fun to race side by side. It's just, I would think it's got to be.
No, exactly. I mean, for sure. For sure. That's my opinion, absolutely.
So have you, I guess, have you ever thought about driving anything other than a modified?
I'd drive anything anybody wanted me to drive. I just like that. I grew up, besides my dad, my favorite driver was Tony Stewart, and that was like one of the coolest things to me about him was like I mean, I didn't know him as an IndyCar driver or a dirt driver. I knew him as a NASCAR driver, but he would win on Sunday at NASCAR. He'd win the Chili Bowl. He'd jump in a truck on a Friday and he'd win in that. And I mean, that was like the coolest thing to me. It's just like that is the tell of like a real driver, is like you can just hop in anything, figure it out, and go. And I don't have the opportunity to like get in anything and just win or get in anything, period. But like I feel like I could get in any good car and be competitive in anything. I mean, I took last year in Herbie's car, the first night out in that. I mean, that car was back on torsion bars, right side, all the old stuff. And I went out and I won the heat the first night, and stuff like that. So it's a totally different thing. But in this day and age, it's relevant. I hop on iRacing and we'll race with the buddies, race with Colin and AJ and like those guys like that. We hop in some random combination of cars that we all haven't run a million laps in, and I'm picking it up like that, So like that's not just to me say that it's a brag on myself, but like that's what's fun to me, is like getting in something that you are unfamiliar with and like being able to pick it up. I remember my first year in modified, I still had my Cray Sportsman and went down to the Hill Speedway on Friday night with the Sportsman, and never been there before. Had to start in the back because they handicapped. It didn't deter us from going or anything like that, but had to do it. And I went to the outside and I finished second that night, and all the locals were coming up to me like, wow, like we've never seen anybody like run the outside like that, and like this and that. It's like, I've never been here. I didn't know you couldn't. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's a real thing. Like you get in your head, you overthink things, and you think something's supposed to be done a certain way. And like that's what's intriguing about like driving something else, is like maybe as like an outsider, you jump in something and you figure something out that nobody else has even tried, because you don't know that that doesn't work. I mean, that sort of stuff is like very intriguing to me and would be a lot of fun.
Right. Have you ever been in a, have you ever had the opportunity to hop into anything else or?
I haven't. Nope.
Oh wow, you see that? So I see.
I
I
know. I need to be
think
knocking on doors. Hook me up with a ride, Joe, for something, please. Do your magic when you're doing your pit walk. Say, hey, I got a real shoe over here that wants to drive your car.
I don't know.
Hook me up.
What do you do? Would you hop on DOT tires?
Gosh, that is the one thing that would definitely make me nervous, because, and I don't mean to bury anybody, but Kenny Peoples got in one last year, and they look a lot different than a modified, But Caden, like you take a Caden to gin or something like that, and I mean he makes it look like a ton of fun. So
Right.
I would try anything. I'd drive anything.
Yeah, that's a kid. I don't know if he just is out of racing completely or what. I know that they sold their hobby stocks to Joe and them, but that kid's got a lot of talent. And it's
Yeah.
if he is done racing, I know he's got a business he's trying to do and all that, and more power to him, but he had a lot of talent the way that he was able to hop into a modified and not, I don't know. Could you imagine me hopping into, and I'm, he's raced before, but some of those people, you put them in a modified, oof, that's a scary thought. And he just made it look easy.
Yeah, I mean he did race crate for many years, but yeah, exactly. And I mean I think
Oh, really?
I'm sure he will be back behind the wheel at some point in life. I'm sure it's just like one of those deals where yeah, like this is very like racing's very time consuming. I could be out here on a dozer making money instead of, doing this. So I'm sure you'll see him back behind the wheel one day.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. You said you touched on Colin Wyatt, and I kind of wanted to touch on that too, and just kind of ask you. I know you're helping him out quite a bit. I think you are anyway. I guess how cool is it to see him finally be able to race the race car?
Yeah, no, that's definitely big. Oh my gosh, that was such a crazy thing. I mean, they had the whole freaking pits all scratched. Like, everybody knows Colin, great photographer. Everybody was scratching their head on what the heck was like going on with, his car getting hot and everything. I mean, he changed every single thing in that. And finally, what we decided So he changed the last one of the last thing he changed was a radiator hose. That was like the insides of the radiator hose were kind of like coming out. You couldn't really like tell from the outside. He just happened to be, he was gonna change his radiator out and notice like, oh, this hose is whipped, and change the hose and it's good to go now. Like now he can't even get his engine warm because he's got such good cooling that everybody's tried to suggest, you know. So I think that when the car, the vacuum in the water would suck the what was sucking the radiator hose shut, so he wasn't getting any water into his car. So it ended up being a really simple fix, but it's definitely very good to see him turn some laps now. And I mean, I think he's done a phenomenal job for never. He's got a lot of iRacing laps, but not, you know, that's a very different thing to real life. And I'm like very, very happy for him for how he's done out there and how he's picked it up, kept his nose clean and everything like that. So that is very cool to see your buddy, you know, really getting the hang of everything.
Yeah, even just I couldn't imagine how defeated you must be, 'cause like we all know they're not cheap, and this is his first year having a car, you know, and you go out there and you've got to be just defeated. I know, you know, you said that you were defeated after 2 weeks, but could you
No.
imagine your first full year? I think he's had the car all year. He paid to get in every week, would run it in hot laps and then park it. That's, you know,
Yeah,
that's.
no, that was definitely one thing that was very, very, very admirable about him was his attitude every week when he's like, yep, and after made 7 laps in the heat this week, you know, already 2:30, like that would have drove me nuts. I'm sure it did drive him nuts, but I mean, he kept at it, kept a happy face on, and
Really?
still, you know, supported me and helped me out, you know. So I couldn't thank him enough for that, and I'm super happy that he's got his stuff figured out.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that he had a happy face, because every time I see him, he's always miserable.
You must not be seeing him at the right times. I don't
Well,
know. Maybe
that's
you make him miserable. He's got to
there
see
might
you
be
in a
some
better
truth to
settings. He
that.
once he starts seeing you down on the front stretch, you'll be his best friend.
Well, that's what I tell everybody. You know, I say I'm the one that you want to see. I should be the happiest person when you see me.
Exactly. That's why I'm never happier than when I'm talking to Joe Cook.
That's what I try to tell everybody. And you know, nobody, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't, but I don't know. I just figured, you know, if you want to win, you want to see me at the end of the night, 'cause most of the time I'm pretty busy up until the end of the races, so. But you know, I don't know. So you were talking about iRacing there. Is that what you guys all do for fun?
Yeah, it's more of an off-season activity. But yeah, so we had been into it a little bit before, but like during the COVID year, it was like I don't wish COVID back or all the shutdowns by any means, but I mean, there was like that period of time was so fun when you had, I mean, like Woodhull, Steve Ovens and his family were putting on these races for Canandaigua and for Woodhull, like once every week, like there was a little series like they would race. And I mean, to think it was like just so cool. Like you'd have, you know, like me and AJ Petrobowski and Dylan Groover and then Adam Del Grosso and Jeremy Bunn and like Brett Crawford and, you know, all these just random mishmash of like drivers from different classes, different tracks, you know, all, you know, getting to compete against each other when we don't get to, you know, in real life. So I mean, that was a very cool era and time. And I mean, I think now that enough time has passed, and yeah, we don't all, you know, sit around and do that for fun as much anymore, but every once in a while we still do, you know, get on and race against each other. And it's a lot cheaper that way to go out and beat and bang with your buddy than to all try and get the same thing and do in real life. So it's a good alternative.
Yeah, and a lot less time consuming too.
For sure.
Well, I guess I say that, but I don't know. I'm sure you guys have logged a lot of hours on iRacing.
Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about it.
But you know, probably less.
That's more leisure, less work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's probably some truth to that, because I can't imagine ripping those modifieds apart every week's got to be the most fun job in the world.
Now the fun comes on Saturdays, as long as you have fun on Saturday.
Right, that's all that matters, and some people seem to forget that sometimes. But
Most
you know,
times.
it's fun.
Yep.
It's
It
supposed to
is.
be fun, but
Supposed to be. It's all the mindset, and I feel like that's definitely been. I feel like I've drove the best this year than I have in years or ever, maybe. And I think it's just like showing up with a good attitude every week. I think it became really fashionable to show up miserable to Woodhull Raceway. And if you just don't just show up with a good attitude and show up with like, yeah, we're just here to have fun, and more often than not, you have fun that way. So I think that if, and I think that this year, I mean, we've talked about this. This year has been a much happier, less toxic, drama-filled year, and I think that's just what everybody needs, you know.
I think we need to change cell phones.
Well, you have a different job than I do, so
No, it has been. You're right.
yeah.
I don't know. It just there's sometimes we're just and I understand the frustration, you know. You put all your time into this car and then somebody doors you out of the way and they don't get sent to the back. I get it, or they don't get docked two spots or whatever, you know. I get it. It sucks, but I also wish that these people that get underneath a car and then hit them on accident, and they always say it's an accident, could see from other people's point of view that sometimes we don't always see what happened, you know. And
Yeah, for sure. I think it's again, like I've had a good year. The car's been very fast, and so it's really easy for me to sit here and say, "Oh, why don't we just show up happy, guys? It's just let's just have fun, you know, because that is when it's fun, is when you're doing well." But yeah, I mean, I get all that other stuff, and I mean that is obviously frustrating
I'm
when
sure it
things
is.
aren't going your way, and it is tough to dig out of that. But I mean, it's a lot of it. I always try to. You know, there's a lot of guys love to point fingers, and they'll get on their Facebook or their YouTube channel, and they'll call out people and whine and complain every single week, like because like they don't ever hit anybody. We all rub, we all
What?
have gotten into people before, like you know what I mean? Like, I always try to just look within, just like what I said earlier about like you know I got that flat tire leading one night and then got put in the wall, but I kind of did it to myself. I kind of obviously the hole wasn't big enough, and you know, you try to look within. Not everything is always just the other. It's easy to just blame another competitor, the track surface, or something every single week. And sometimes that might be the case, but it's just I think it's just a much happier, much more productive attitude to have to just try to see what you can do better and show up the next week with a good attitude.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I always hate to say it because it is easy for me to say it too. You know, I sit up in the tower, I come in every week, and I don't put the time in and the effort and the money that you guys do. And I always try to remember that, you know, at the end of the day, we're at the racetrack. You know, that's better than a lot, not
Exactly.
what, probably 95% of the world right at that moment.
Exactly. And we're all
So.
there for a reason because we want to race, right? So act like you want to race.
Right. Yeah, and I think sometimes respect could go a long way too, but you
Absolutely.
know.
Absolutely.
I always figured if everybody just showed each other respect, then we wouldn't have 90% of the issues that we had.
For sure.
But you know, I guess that comes
Easier said than done, you know?
well, and you know what? I can't say that I've never gotten mad before. I can't say that I've never gotten out of my car and yelled at an official, 'cause go ask Shannon People, she'll tell you I have. They caught me once.
At the Derby?
Yeah, I wasn't happy.
Jesus, what the heck?
Well, my seatbelt locked up, and I was trying to get them to give me some time to get it unlocked, and they weren't having any of it. And, you know, I guess I caught on fire, so they made me get out, but then the seatbelt locked up, and it, you know, so. But, you know, it happens, I guess,
That's right,
right?
that's right. Hey, at least you
I
got, yeah. So sometimes,
don't
yeah, sometimes maybe you need to yell at a guy, you know, get it off your chest a little bit. And
know.
that's what your job is nowadays at Woodhull, right? Is to take that abuse and internalize it and let people, you know, really let things off their chest so they show up and they're happy the next time they see you on the front stretch, right?
Well, I always told everybody that you can tell me whatever you want. I don't care one way or the other. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you whether you're right or wrong.
Well, I think
Because,
you suck as an announcer. What do you think about that?
well, you're right.
Wow, there you go. No, I don't.
But find somebody else that'll do it.
No, you do a great job.
I don't know. Everybody says I am, but then I listen to some other people and I'm blown out of the water. But then I try to
Wow.
remind myself I just started, so.
That's right. That's just goals to look forward to. That's not things to judge yourself by.
Right. What else do you like to do other than iRacing? Anything other than race cars and iRacing and
That's definitely the biggest that from always has been the thing. I mean, I play some video games. I like to take my side by side out and run up and down the dirt roads. But Most of my brain power thoughts throughout the day is definitely racing related. NASCAR, a lot of, keep up with the news there and the drama and all that stuff, but it's racing for sure.
So who's your driver now in NASCAR?
Bubba Wallace and Ryan Blaney, my two guy. I feel like Bubba Wallace, just I think he's a nice guy, and I think I like to root for the underdog sometimes. And when everybody hates this guy for mostly, in my opinion, no reason, and now that he's like doing well, like it's very easy for me to cheer for him. So like I like that. And Ryan Blaney, I feel like we're kind of like, not that I know him, but I feel like we're like relatable, like his dad grew up like racing dirt, like I'm, my dad grew up racing dirt, like we're both kind of like nerdy into Star Wars stuff, but like that type of, like I just like Ryan Blaney, like also just a very cool guy. So like those are definitely my guys on Sundays.
So you were happy this weekend
I was very happy, very happy.
then. But do you think Ryan Blaney or you think he'll win the whole thing this year?
I think, yeah, if he gets to Phoenix, I don't see why he wouldn't,
Yeah, there's.
unless, I mean, obviously if Logano makes it too, he seems to be the golden child of the team, but I think Ryan is probably definitely the top three best drivers in NASCAR. I think Kyle Larson, obviously, that's the easy go-to pick. I think unpopular also, but I think Denny Hamlin is very good, but I think Ryan Blaney's right there with the best of anybody, so.
Yeah, and that kind of it kind of ends pretty well for him too. I think there's what the last three tracks he's really good at.
He always seems to find his way, no matter how big of a hole he's in. He'll win one of those last ones, and then it's go time once he gets to Phoenix. So,
You kind of like that for NASCAR though, that if you win, you're in the playoff, or would you rather have it go back to like the way it was?
I think it's good for entertainment, but it would frustrate me to no end as a driver. Like I think it definitely sucks for the drivers because it's so much less rewarding. Because Joey Logano can be the 15th actual fastest guy, right? But he can win the championship because he wins at the right times. I don't like that really. Like as a driver, I wouldn't like it. But I'd be lying if I would say that it wouldn't be, it's not more entertaining this way, obviously. Like, so I don't know. It's a real catch 22. I think from a casual fan, I can see why the playoffs exist. And now that they exist, I think that it's a tough genie to like put back in the bottle there. But definitely, like as a competitor, I feel for like the Denny Hamlins who might never win one because of the way it is now. But I don't want Woodhull to have the playoffs. We'll put it that way. Don't create a playoffs in dirt racing, please.
Well, what another thing I wanted to ask you about, if we're going to touch on that kind of stuff, maybe this isn't the year to ask you, because I think I might know the answer, the way the points are right now. But what about double points? What side do you fall on for double points night, for championship night being double points or
Yeah.
midseason, whatever?
I think it's good because, and I mean, it doesn't matter. You could have it freaking quadruple points as long as, everybody knows the deal going into it, right? But I mean, that's something that they did forever, right? Like way back when Jim Williams owned the place, probably you had double points in midseason, double points on championship night. I mean, I don't really know. I haven't really actually thought about the benefits versus the non-benefits of that, but I feel like a lot, I mean, Outlaw does it. Like I feel like, yeah, Woodhull used to do it back in the day. I think it's a very common thing, so like, yeah, I think it's fine, it's
Let
cool. I mean,
me lay it out for you, Dayton. I'll tell you right now. You love it if you're the guy that's, how many points are you back? 18. You're 18 points back and you're a fan. But if you're Aiden Grover, you're going to hate him.
exactly, and
And it's
that's
going
what
to
it boils
change year
down
to
to,
year.
exactly.
It's going to
So
change
how
year
about we do
to
this? We just change it based on however, whatever I need, let's do that. How about that? Put that in
year.
somebody's ear.
Well, why don't we just give you 18 show up points?
As long as that's on Sunday and I'm the only one there, that's a deal.
Well, no, that's what I mean. But you'd be the only one that gets show up points. So you
Right.
get 18 show up points, and then you guys have your heats and your feature, and
I
you
think
everyone gets points for
that's a phenomenal idea. That's the best idea I've probably ever heard you have.
that. Yeah, I don't
And
have
you've had
very
some
many,
good
but
ones.
I don't have very many, but I knew you'd get on board with that one.
That and 30 lap features, right?
Oh, I would love 30 lap features. I'd tell anybody that. I think 30 laps is the perfect amount for a modified. I think there was 1 week where somebody was running down Carter Crooker, I think it was. It might have been you or Aiden. And then there was a week where Aiden Grover was leading, and I think with five more laps, it would have been one heck of a battle.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, there was 1 week where I was in the back and yeah, I was running, I started like 12th or whatever. And like, I was in third and just, yeah, ran out of time, which this was 30 laps. And then, yeah, like, I think it was the next week, right, that I was leading and Aiden was all over my back bumper. And then, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I mean, it was Aiden leading and Brian Doolittle coming. I mean, and who's to say that at that point, at the end of 30 laps, when that happens, we're going to be over here asking for 40, right? But
Well,
I think above all else, I think it's just the modifieds are the premier class at Woodhull, and they should be, I think it should be a bigger event for the modifieds. You know, the modified race should just be the biggest event. So I think really it's just down to that, not whatever selfish reasons, you know, I may want a 30 lap race on any given night because of, you know, some random week. But I think that's really why they should.
I got a selfish reason because I want to see Brian Doolittle win a race.
That's right.
That's
Well, I
what
mean, we just want to watch more racing, period.
I'm telling you, I know I'm not supposed to root for people, but I think anybody in that pit area tell you Brian's the nicest guy ever, and I think everybody will be happy unless he's passing you for the lead. I think anybody would be happy to see him win a race.
If he passes me for the lead and wins the damn race, I'll be the first one in victory lane to shake his hand. Me and Brian are very good friends. We park by each other there, and him and his dad have always been very, very, very kind to me ever since I was in crates and everything like that. So yeah, he's a very phenomenal dude, and he deserves a win for sure.
Right, so you're not going to be mad at me for wearing a fellow competitor shirt.
If it was anybody else, yeah, I probably would have been, you know, but no, not
If it
Brian
makes you feel
Doolittle.
any better, I've
Never.
got about 100 of you guys in my closet.
Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. What are we doing with that many of us in your freaking closet, Joe?
You guys the shirts.
Okay. Don't let us out.
I guess and one hers shirt. So I guess I
Yep.
do have a female, but yeah, I got a lot of them. You collect them over the years.
That's right. And you don't ever have to wonder what kind of a theme you're gonna wear when you go out to the grocery store. It's racing. It's
Yeah,
gotta no, just gotta pick a number.
well, I will tell you one thing though. Sometimes it's hard to match. Sometimes, when somebody's got like a, I don't know, like a real vibrant blue with pink, sometimes that doesn't match with the rest of my clothes.
Well, I don't know who the hell would have such a sharp color scheme like that, but I don't think enough, it doesn't sound like anything's wrong with that at all.
What made you come up with that? Do you just like it or?
Yeah, so my dad, when he first started in the crate class, his car was pink, and I don't really know why he picked it other than just something different. And I obviously, like, I was a kid then, so like I thought that was the coolest thing. And I still, like, now I just feel like, you know, I kind of stole it from him, I guess. But like, it's kind of just become like my thing, like, is the pink. And I mean, but on top of that, like, you look out there on the track in a dark, dusty night, and what are you going to see? You're not going to see that black car. You're going to see the freaking bright pink one going through the dust, right? So I think that's part of it. But I mean, and it's just something to be like a little bit unique with, right? Like, it's something everybody will know you by. Like, you go to freaking AutoZone or something like that to get like a water pump for your race car or whatever like that, and the guy will be like, oh, you know, what's it for? And he's like, ah, oh, race car. Like, oh, where do you race? And you tell him, like, oh yeah, I know that pink, I love the pink car. Like, and so that's very cool. He's, you know, to be out there in the wilderness. I mean, it's happened to me for years now where that, like, those situations come up all the time, and it's very neat.
You might not see this very much sitting over in the pits, but do you know what little kids always root for?
Probably the pink 17, but
Vibrant race cars.
no, exactly. And that was, I mean, yeah, when I was a kid, like, yeah, you pick out, like, you don't know anything. I could be the
Right.
freaking slowest piece of junk out there, but like, a kid's gonna look like, oh yeah, I like the look of that one, because they don't know anything, and like, that's just it. So yeah, I mean, like, an autograph night, it's always like very cool with like any of the little kids, but then like especially like the little girls come, like, you know, so it's good for them. You know, Isabel hadn't been there all summer, so they had to have somebody else to root for. So at least it's the guy with the pink car instead of like the blonde girl and everything. So it's just, yeah, it's nice. I just remember being that kid in the crowd. So I like to, you know, be that for the kids nowadays.
Yeah, if you keep racing and keep having a pink race car, then I'm guessing you'll be my daughter's favorite too.
Good. Well, I should already be, so
Well,
we'll keep
you
that
see,
going.
she's only 2 years old, so she's really not quite into figuring out who everybody is or what she likes
Sure.
really.
Well,
To be honest,
once she knows her, as long as she knows her colors, that's all that matters, right? That's what you're saying.
do you remember what I've told you before about my daughter?
What's that?
She's the only person at the racetrack that's ever happened to see the water truck.
Yeah, that's a fact. I hate seeing that damn thing, especially at intermission. Me and my dad joke every week we're gonna go freaking take the drive shaft out of that after hot lap, so they can't water the freaking track at intermission. I know you're a water truck at intermission fan as well. Maybe it's for your daughter, but I don't like it.
No, you want to know why I'm a favorite fan of the water truck and intermission?
It can't be because it makes the intermissions longer, because they're already long enough even when there's no water truck, so
Oh,
it can't be
you got.
that.
Oh no, that is why. You want to know why? Because I've got. So I go down there. I interview the Warrior, the Driver of the Week, the Hard Luck, the Junior fan, or the Woodhull fan, and then I go up there. So that probably takes what, 10, 15 minutes, and then I don't know, probably add in another 5 or 10 by the time I can walk up all those steps. And then you know what I'm looking for? Dinner.
So you're to blame for the long intermissions, huh? At least now we have a culprit.
I don't know. You can blame me all you want because I enjoy them.
You're the blame for everything around here, I think. So
Yeah.
that's what we've learned.
Well, you know, I
Somebody's got to do it.
not everything. I don't know. You'll probably never see a 17 on Facebook again, but you're gonna win the feature, and in the story, I'm gonna put a four cylinder in there
Yeah, make that the
as the
headline,
headline
please.
picture. I always use the
Yeah.
modified, but not that week.
Yep, that probably you're speaking into existence, I'm guessing.
No, I'd never do that. Not to you, anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
Unless you keep it up.
Oh, come on.
As long as you're nice to me, and I guess you gotta apologize to your mom for me, because she always yells at me whenever I play country. She yells at me when I play country. So you can tell her that 2 weeks ago I played classic rock and you blew a motor. So I
Yeah.
said I gotta change it up for Dayton Brewer. I gotta change it up. I gotta play
Yeah.
country. So I played country, but that didn't work either. So I don't know. Maybe I gotta play some like
Yeah,
reggae.
maybe. It must be there's just greater powers that be that just do not want me to thrive there these last 2 weeks than the music choices. So whatever is in your heart this week, you play it and I'll go out there and I will see you on the front stretch. How about
All
that?
right. Have you ever thought about sneaking over to the 21 camp? Maybe they put something in your car there to make you break something.
There's enough bodyguards over there guarding that thing that we do park by each other though, so
Yeah, I
but
don't
no,
think
I
it
mean
would.
me no yeah no me and Aiden are good. We're buddies. We all we're good. So no, I mean it is what it is. That's
Yeah.
just, again, like, I'm not the only one that's had crappy luck and won't be the last, so you
Yeah,
just play the you play the hand you're dealt and it is what it is.
it just sucks when it comes at the worst possible time.
Yeah, it definitely does.
But you know, maybe you'll start on the pole, you'll win this week, and then you win a race, so that kind of takes the heat away,
That's
you
right.
know.
I won't even need to start in the poll to win the damn thing. How about that?
Well, I know, but it's always nice if you never had, you don't even have a dent in your car, you just go from green to checkered and lead 25 laps. Maybe just a little bit of somebody peeking their nose underneath just to get that competitive juice flowing. But then you're able to just nice and easy.
No doubt. You saying that if I don't start up front, then I'm gonna be running over people to get to the front? You saying there's not gonna be any dents if I'm up front? What the heck?
I've seen you guys race.
Well, some
I'll leave
when
it at
you
that.
yeah, when your car is fast, sometimes you're rough, but it just is what it is.
I don't know. I've gotten in trouble for saying this about people before, but you all do a way better job than I'd ever do. And usually 95% of the time I'd have to say that when you get into somebody, it's never intentional, but you all do it. And I've seen everybody at that racetrack do
Oh,
it.
absolutely, and especially the modified class. I mean, the track is so small and we are going so fast. That sometimes it happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope everybody doesn't take it too personally, because like I said before, I couldn't even drive a wheelbarrow around that thing. So I don't know how you guys do it. And I was talking to Kyle Leach, and I had a picture of his car, and I go, and that's a sportsman. And I go, I don't know how you guys are so close. I go, you guys are so close. He goes, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that's all you know is smashing them up, though. So you should
Well,
love to see it.
actually, I grew up a race fan, really.
Right, but now you're a demo man.
Well, I thought it was cheaper, but now I'm really starting to, I
You
don't know. The
have to
farther
take a
in the
new
distance.
car every event you go to because you're trashing the one you took to the last one, right?
Well, that's part of the problem. That and but if you don't finish it off, then you got to buy parts. So, I mean, it's small compared to you guys, but it seems like, if imagine you had to buy a new car every 2 to 3 weeks, but it was a third of the price,
Right.
I'll probably shoot, would it be a tenth of the price maybe?
Yeah, I was gonna say at a
I
bare
don't
minimum, those are some expensive
know.
demo
Yeah,
cars,
right. I don't know. A
but
25th of the price,
yeah, I
but
got you. I got you.
so I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, but then I also love my job, so I don't think I'd want to give it up.
That's right.
It is what it is. I like giving you guys crap too much to quit.
Well, and like you said, who the heck else is gonna do it?
I don't know. That's what everybody's always worried about, but they've
That's
always
why
found people.
we're just lucky to have you.
Hey, who else had a podcast for you?
Now, I've been on Spazman's
I didn't know he had a podcast.
He did when he a few was it before you started? Must be that he announced, or did you announce with him at Woodhull ever?
Well, funny story. I started the day or the week after he quit.
Gotcha. Yeah. So
I
that
was the
few
replacement.
weeks, yeah, that few weeks that he was the Woodhull announcer, yeah, he had a podcast, and I was the first guest because I won that week, and he had just fired the podcast back up. So sly job with the Spaz Man. I put that on my resume actually that I was a guest on that, and it's gotten me pretty far in my career. It's gotten me a lot of job offers there and a lot of recognition. So it's pretty cool.
Well, the bad thing is I'd leave this one off, or else it's going to go the other way.
No, I probably will. I will take that advice. I'll definitely won't mention it to a soul.
Well, Dayton, I can't thank you enough for joining me here tonight. I've kept you long enough. Why don't I like to give you guys a little bit of time here at the end just to kind of name off the people that help you out. I know it takes a lot, so if you want to do that now before I let you go.
Yeah, definitely, as I've said multiple times here, I have to thank my dad first and foremost. I mean, I would be nowhere in racing, especially without him and all the work that he puts in the car. I mean, he gets done work much earlier than I do. The car's at his house and everything, and I mean, he's working on that thing pretty much every spare minute that he has, making sure that it shows up competitive, and it definitely has all year long. None of the bad luck has been anything to do with anything that has gone on in the garage during the week. So, I mean, I can't thank him enough for that. My mom, all the support and everything that she does for the race program. My buddy Landon and Colin for all the help that they put in at the track every Saturday. And then my aunt and uncle, Marty and Val at Butler's Value Brokerage, Butler Transport System, and Brennan Thurber out of Howard Hanna Realty. They've been big sponsors for me for, I mean, Butler's ones for many, many, many years, and Brennan's hopped on the last few years, been a big help. Dalton Katie at Nine for Men, hair products and beard products. You look like you could use a cut down at Garcia's. You go ask for Dalton, you know. And
Sound like my dad.
but then Bill McCord at McCord's Auto Collision, Colin for Colin Wyatt Photography, and everybody at DKM for everything that they do for me.
You're just jealous.
I am. I rocked a mullet. Yeah, in 2020,
No
and
way.
yeah, nothing compared to yours. Your
Have you ever
company
thought
should.
about bringing it back?
I don't know that I'm allowed to, but I don't have. So that was again. That was just a period in time. Again, it was COVID, so like nobody's going outside. I hadn't got a haircut for a long time, and once like finally in my. So I mean, I just looked awful everywhere. So when finally you could go back to the barber shop, and I studied adult, and I'm like, well, I think I'm gonna give the old mullet a try here. I've let it grow enough, and I did it. I think I had it for probably close to a year. It got pretty decent. And still nothing compared to yours by any means, but then I finally had to chop that mane off and just go back to all business and no more party in the back.
Well, I never even wanted a mullet, really. So what happened was I just was growing my hair out long because my ex-girlfriend hated it, and I said,
There
"Well,
you go.
all right then." And I was gonna grow it out long, but then I kind of liked it. But then it got to be I wear a hat all the time, every day, all day, and it just got to be a pain. So I said, "Well, I want to cut the front, but I want the long hair. So that's kind of
Hell
the only
yeah.
option I'm left with.
Yes, sir. Luckily, they're fashionable. So, I mean,
Yeah, I
now
never
if you just
really.
perm, it's still, I think it's still fashionable if you perm it. I think that's the new thing
No,
now.
I never
So,
really cared too much about fashion.
wow, you could
As you
fool
can tell
me.
with a race car sh or with a closet full of race car t-shirts.
That's about as the extent of my fashion knowledge too, so I'm right there with
Yeah, a lot of people would disagree with us, Dayton.
you. Idiots, they're idiots.
right, hey, I appreciate you hopping out with me. I hope you have a good rest of the week, and I'll see you on Saturday. How's that sound?
Absolutely. Hopefully we're talking on Victory Lane out on there in the front stretch, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, I hope you don't ignore me before that, because usually I talk to you before the races too, so.
Well, that is true. We'll be chatting, I'm sure, regardless.
You have a good rest of your week, Dayton. Thank you again.
No, thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right, well, we got Dayton out of here. Once again, I do want to thank you all for listening. I want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Give it a download if you listen on the audio only version. This upcoming week, actually, you know what? I just got some word here for the Quad C. If you guys are listening to this at until the end, I got word on Quad C's that Westfield Beverage, they're going to add another $200 for the Quad C feature. So that is a 500 to win dash for cash for the Quad C's and 1,000 to win for the feature event. So that's some big money coming up for the Quad C's. That is going to be a great night. Hopefully we get, I don't know, 25 cars. Hopefully we have a full field of them. It'll be a lot of fun. And I hope I see you all Saturday. I do want to remind everybody that the driver interviews are sponsored by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for waste management needs off our residential garbage route, Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they'll come and take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. So once again, I do want to thank you all for listening. I thank you to Dayton Brewer. I thank all these drivers every week. I could not do this without you guys, so I thank you all for making time. I know it's not the easiest thing to sit down with me for about an hour and just talk on a Wednesday night, so I appreciate you all making time, and hopefully I will see all you drivers and fans on Saturday night.